This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello, welcome to Sunday's blah, blah, blah.
You did a really bad job just then.
Well, I deliberately did a bad job because I actually wanted to abandon the Sunday format this week and do a midweek supplement.
A what?
A midweek supplement, because the Times on Wednesday had the best ever pullout ever, ever.
Which was?
They reprinted the world's best article.
Arctical,
which is like an article but
colder.
Now it was called, so I open it.
You bought it. You can't open the game by, you know, using a different supplement, which isn't even a proper Sunday supplement.
This is the 5 a.m. special edition from Monday, July the 21st, 1969. The headline reads, "Man takes first steps on the moon."
Yeah, whatever.
How cool is that? Subheadline, greatest moment of time.
Yeah, but if you're gonna, you know, I've had things abandoned,
I'm not offering this up as part of the competition. I'm saying I wanted to abandon the format. But the best thing about this front page is there's a column which says other news. As though there was any other news that day.
What was the other news?
Senator Kennedy was to be charged after the crash. I assume that's Chappaquiddick.
I don't understand.
He drove his car off a bridge with a woman in it and then ran away, apparently.
A bridge with a woman in it?
Yeah, a bridge with a woman in it.
There's one of those at Blenheim, because, like, in Blenheim Palace, there's a tree where they filmed a bit of the Harry Potter movie, which I like to climb in, because that's where Snape used to live. But there's also, like, a bridge, and the bridge goes over a lake, and in the bottom of the bridge there is a little hidey hole for a mistress. So basically what the guy who was living in Blenheim would do, not Winston Churchill, this is before Winston Churchill, he used to go down into the hidey hole, have sex with the mistress and keep her, call her Mrs. Troll, and then come up. And she did, whenever they used to, like, 'cause there's quite a few sheeps and goats in the Blenheim area. And what she would do is any time a goat tried to cross, she would sing, "I'm a troll, roll-de roll," like that. And she used to grab the goats and eat them for her tea.
And how much of that is true?
45% of it.
Okay, so what paper have you bought this week, Isabel?
Don't call me Isabel, like you're my mother.
All right, I'll do that bit again, shall I?
No, don't. Don't do that bit again.
What paper have you bought this week, Izzy?
It's Isabel, yeah? I bought the Independent on Sunday.
Why?
Because it looked pretty and I wanted it. And it has a food supplement special, and I thought, that'd be nice.
Cool. I bought the Sunday Express.
Again, you failure.
You've had the Independent before?
No, you had the Independent before when it was crap and didn't have it contain any cool supplements. I've got it containing wicked supplements.
I see. So I'm flawed, is what you're saying.
You are so flawed. You're basically an entire story.
Okay, let's begin with cut out and keep then. What have I got? The Express. Well, here's the thing. I'm less interested in my paper this week because I went to the bank to get some money to get the paper and there was £100 extra in my account. Someone's put £100 in my account. So I was staring at that and I just picked up our paper.
Wow, that must be really exciting. I found a fiver in an old trouser pocket when I was cleaning out stuff for the charity shop. That was very exciting.
It's quite exciting until I came home and looked at the internet bank and realised that they've transferred it all from my other account. So it's my money that they've transferred across for no apparent reason.
So you went with the Sunday Express. I had a look at the Sunday Express on the shelves. I wasn't very impressed. I also had the Telegraph. Wasn't very impressed. There was a lot of David Bowie CDs being given away this week. Did you get one of them?
Yeah, on the Express. You don't get it, though. You've got to go and get it.
Oh, you got the movie, didn't you? Because the Daily Mail had the music. But unfortunately, I've got quite a lot of David Bowie things anyway, so I didn't go for the mail.
You've even got his hair.
I even do have his hair. I get called Ziggy a lot now. It's quite annoying.
So what are you going to cut and keep?
Well, there's so much in the new review, which is a really good supplement. I've got Big Daddy. He's 30 stone, has 89 grandchildren, and calls himself a king. And it's one of the, you know, soul men people thing who is like friends with thing. And he looked about, you know, 40, but is huge and very old.
I stopped listening after you listed how many children he had.
Yeah, he does have quite a few. No, it's grandchildren,
how many?
Not children. 89.
89.
Yeah.
So he must have at least 30 children.
No, he's just got one daughter. She's knackered. But I've got some beautiful articles in his. Literally an article titled "Lovely Bum and Panter." It's basically an article about a book coming out called The Wall, Rome's Great Frontier, which is basically about Hadrian's Wall. And it's just an excuse to put a load of nice little facts in. For example, the prostitutes in Pompeii, one was called Lovely Bum and the other was called Panter, meaning everything, whilst regular customers were called things like Skordoponikos, which means garlic farter. But that's not the articles I want to cut out and keep. That's just showing you the depth and the greatness that is The Independent. I want to talk about something which is in a section called Living Experience, which is you've got to have faith.
Oh,
what
God.
Makes a teenager give up clubbing and turn to God? Archie Bland, here's how pool hypnotists and poker nights are helping reverse decades of decline in the Britain's Jewish population. And this is a really freaky article about two young Jewish guys who are joining a movement called Aish or Ashish. It's basically A-I-S-H. I don't do Yiddish words very well. I can swear like a beauty in Arabic Moroccan, but anything else I get a bit confused at. But basically these guys are organising clubs to stop young boys going out. It goes against your very nature because it kind of says it's really bad that everybody's sort of getting along and having interfaith marriages.
It's not that surprising a development to suddenly say, well, actually, no, we don't want this kind of multicultural interfaith crossover. We want to live in our tribe and have our tribe.
I suppose I don't know any actually religious Jews. That's my trouble. I only know Jews which eat bacon, really.
Reform Jews, I think they're called.
They're called Reform Jews.
It's a la carte religion, and I hate it. The pick and choose the bits you want to.
Oh, I see. It's like a pudding at the end of a meal, a la carte. You bring the cart and you have different puddings on, and you go,
don't
I want.
Pretend you don't know what a la carte means. You're the most middle class person I've ever met.
I'm only middle class because I don't have enough money to be upper class. I mean, it's written really positively. It's basically, there's a documentary called Jews Keeping the Faith, which will air on BBC 4 this Wednesday. So tonight, if you're listening to this on the day it's released, at 9 o'clock. And it just seems really weird. I mean, it just seems completely like, yeah, we're going to play giant Jenga and go clubbing all together, all us guys. So we get really into, you know.
I presume that women go to these things as well, not just men.
Well, one would presume so, yeah.
But it doesn't actually say that. So on the information we have, it is a gay sect of a Jewish cult.
Aish estimates that about half of the general Jewish population marries outside the religion, which I see is really good and positive because I, you know, surely you can still pass down culture and be married to a Catholic, though that's a sitcom waiting to happen. And, you know, but inside the Aish alumni, the figure is just 3%. So only 3% get married to people outside. There's also an article in The Independent about Britain's pubs closing down. You know, all those horrible pubs where it smells like wee and people call you love the moment you go in. It's called Last Chance Saloon, the article, and it's all about that. This is exactly like that to me. It's sort of wanting to restore things that aren't exactly healthy or good.
All pubs are horrible.
Not all pubs, gastro pubs now, really charming and lovely, and you can get some really nice cheeses, yeah? They're sort of like wine bars, but actually in old pubs, and they haven't got the old people in them that smell of wee. You know, they're kind of, oh, they're just wonderful. And you can get like little cheesy nibbles and cheese boards and ham boards and Parma ham boards.
Stop talking.
And also you can get some really nice light wines as well, and the ales are just, you know, they're really, really rare, yeah. And so nobody actually drinks them unless they're trying to pretend that they actually like it, yeah.
Have you finished? Right.
Have you seen my pashmina?
I'm actually in tears now.
Are you in tears? Oh, Simon.
I think I'm going to need
all about your cut out and keep.
I'm going to need what my cut out and keep is about. It's about electroconvulsive therapy and how it's a good cure for depression.
Can I just say very quickly, on the page You've Got to Have Faith, next to it is Beat Depression, Stop Ruminating and Start Doing.
This is ridiculous. It's all about electroshock therapy. And it's a very brief sort of intro to what it is. And then there's a kind of biography about a guy who's done it, who's an Anglican priest.
Oh, yeah.
And I really find the idea of a vicar with depression quite funny. That's a sitcom waiting to happen as well. But it's weird, he kind of, every time he's had a big change in his life, he got incredibly depressed, which is quite usual. And he tried all sorts of things, and he tried this ECT, and he said that really cured him. But then he goes on to say, well, but after that, I got diagnosed with a bipolar disorder and given lithium. And also, he also thinks that writing a book about it has also helped his depression. So I don't quite understand whether he's saying just dealing with the problem deals with the problem. Well, it's a bit woolly.
An Anglican vicar a bit woolly? Surely not.
Well, quite. It says, how does it work as a sidebar? And it says, no one knows exactly, but it's thought the electricity somehow readjusts neurotransmitters in the brain.
Oh, that's a bit unfair. I think that there has been some genuine scientific papers on it. What you need is a proper study where, you can control for other outside effects, like, writing a book. You've got to have people on electrolysis and other people on electrolysis and writing a book and other people just writing a book.
Isn't electrolysis what you do to get rid of the hairs in your arm?
No, that's something else. Electrolysis is when you get, basically, this is why I couldn't do proper science at university. I could only do geography. It's because electrolysis is magic, right? It's where you basically have, silver nitrate at one side and then a thing on the other, and you dip two electrodes in it, the anode and the cathode, and all the silver starts collecting on the cathode, even though it's not actually got any silver in it. It's mental.
That
it basically
magic.
Makes things jump, and it's due to electrons and the process of thingy, and it made me cry, and I just went, no, I'm going to howl at the moon now. This isn't real. It can't be. It's too complicated. Electrolysis is mental, but electric shock therapy, it's one of those things which I think genuinely does have effects, but I haven't read enough about it to offer my opinion, other than lazy journalism in a horrible newspaper like the Sunday Express is pointless.
I was going to say, there's no different than the writer of this article, by the looks of it, done very little research on it. So
I win. No, you don't. I have.
You offered up 50 different articles that you claim you're going to cut out and keep.
No, I was offering you a range to show people what a good newspaper The Independent on Sunday is. And then I offered you You've Got to Have Faith, which is just a really freaky article done in a really sort of happy way. And I'm just thinking, is this really good and happy?
Well, we have a kind of a theme running about how to impose happiness on people. And it reminds me of an article I read a few months back about a educational drive where they're actually teaching happiness classes. It's an offspin of positive psychology, and the idea is that you can teach 11-year-olds how to be happy. Now, I think there's probably nothing worse than telling an 11-year-old what it takes to be happy so that he can then just be disappointed for the rest of his life.
You see, I think happiness is entirely overrated. I don't like being happy. I like being potentially happy. I like being quite miserable. That's what I like. I don't actually like being happy, because from happy, there's only one way to go, and that's unhappy again. So being happy is probably the worst thing.
But the end of that journey is fish food ice cream.
Oh, fish food ice cream.
I don't want to do a travel section this week for two reasons. First reason, I went up the tallest windmill in Britain on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah, and that doesn't sound that interesting, but it's more interesting than it sounds. It hasn't got any sails. They haven't put them back yet.
What? That's rubbish! You just basically went up a tower, and it's not the tallest tower, is it?
No, but it will be. It'll be when it's finished. It'll be, when they finish restoring it. It was on the restoration thing on the BBC.
What, with Griff Rhys-Jones, whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Aww. He does look like the bastard love child of, what's his name? The guy who swears you to give them money and sings about how Mondays are, nobody likes them.
Bob Geldof?
That's the one. He looks like son of Bob Geldof, even though he's older than Bob Geldof.
I think he looks like Nasher from the Beano.
There's a bit. He sounds like Nasher from the Beano.
Anyway, this windmill was owned, and I'm such a child, owned by a man called John Biggerdyke.
Which is funny because, you associate windmills with Holland, which you also associate dykes in, and more than one type of dyke as well. It's quite exciting.
Feel sorry for his cousin, John Smallerdick.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I made that up.
I thought you did.
Okay. The other reason is I'm disqualified from this week's travel section.
Good.
Because they've got literally the same article as you had last week about the Midsummer Murders.
Yay!
It's got pictures of geese and pubs that they've all eaten in. And
they have the cock and rabbit, I think that was the...
Well, no, they got the two brewers on this one, but they got a little map of all the places that has been
largely
done.
Buckinghamshire?
Mostly Buckinghamshire, yeah, and Oxon.
Oxon, baby, that's where I am, everyone. Hey, big it up to the people of Oxfordshire, yeah? Yeah, I know we're West Midlands on Facebook, I know that sucks, but, you know, Oxfordshire all the way.
John Nettles looking old and not as sexy as he did in Bergerac. Not that I'm... ever.
You are so always.
So
you have it hard for John Nettles.
I've got a windmill going for John Nettles without the sails, luckily.
But it is the biggest windmill you've ever seen.
And it's also, with the sails, it would make visits to the bathroom very... Well, I don't know, the actual R version of a bathroom, that would be quite fun, because you could do with what you used to do in school with the water, in the water tub.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In the American version, they'd be peeing everywhere. And that's probably why public toilets are like that, because too many men have got windmill sails on their penises.
All I can think of right now is an aviary farm, like with like lots of birds being taught to fly by people like Bill Oddie, surrounded by windmills, so they all get blended when they try to leave.
I saw Bill Oddie on a children's show on CBeebies.
Oh, yeah?
Trying not to shout at a puppet. You could see it welling up in his face. He really wanted to have a go at this puppet. And this puppet was just winding him up. It was very funny.
That's brilliant. Oh, I like that. Anyway, in my travel section, I've actually got quite a good little article for those people looking for deals. School's nearly out, but there's still time to book a bargain before it's too late. So they've actually got holidays from under 2,000, under 1,500, under 1,000, under 700, and under £500.
Where can you go for less than £500 in the UK?
You go to Island Cottage, a former lighthouse keeper's home on the private islands near Campbelltown, Scotland.
Well, you go to my house for £500. If you all turn up at my house with £500, I'll give you a good holiday.
Yeah, that would not be a good holiday.
Yeah, it would. They could watch the podcast being recorded.
They could watch the podcast being recorded and your cat being sick.
My cat was sick last night, actually.
Was he?
Oh. Everywhere, three times. So you could come and see that. That would be a lovely holiday. You could come and see the pools of sick my cat has made.
And maybe go for a paddle.
Yeah, so who won that section? Oh, I was disqualified, wasn't I?
Yeah, I did. I won it.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, because your paper is a plagiarist.
Correspondence now. Yeah, how posh was that?
That was pretty posh, Simon.
Pretty posh. We actually have correspondence.
We do. We've got emails. Yeah? Emails.
Yeah. What have you got against exclamation marks? Without them, we wouldn't have OK Magazine, comic books, or pornography. Go away, Don. Love, Trevor.
Aw. Trevor. We actually have a listener called Trevor.
I think we have more than one listener called Trevor, yeah.
Do you? Yeah. Wow. Because Trevor, for me, you have to be over 60, surely.
Or you have to be the snail that lived on the roof of my college toilet for the whole year.
I wanted my first Edinburgh show to be called Trevor, like my first hour-long stand-up show. Because then people go, hey, Izzy, what's your show called again? And I say, Trevor. And I just quite like that idea.
You like that idea because I came up with it.
You did not come up with it.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Anyway. Why don't you recycle all of your superfluous exclamation marks into apostrophes? And that's from Hayley in Ontario. That's not a bad
entry. That's quite a good entry.
Hancock's Half Hour.
Yes, if you want to enter the Hancock's Half Hour competition, and we will be announcing the winner soon.
Yeah.
Like, in the next couple of weeks, I think, so we've had quite a few good entries. And we're going to have a, you know, like a decision.
it will go along the lines of that very long, unthoughtful pause.
We've had an email from an American who said you need to supply us with a DVD player as well. Well, I'm afraid it is Region 2 DVD, yeah, so it's not Region 1.
I'm not sending anyone a DVD player. I will reenact it over Skype if anyone wants it.
Oh my God, that'd be horrible. That'd be worse than when Paul Merton did it.
Now. Do you have a letter?
I do, actually. I have a letter from a doctor. He informs me that he enjoyed last week's episode after having quite a nasty operation. He delivers babies, and this one was particularly good because it had ruptured its mother's uterus. And so he had to cut it out whilst listening to the podcast of its mother's intestines. So hang on,
he was doing this surgery listening to us?
I think he listened to it afterwards or during. It was a bit weird. But apparently mother and baby are doing fine.
I quite like the idea that we were the first thing a newborn child heard.
Well, we're the first thing it heard other than the echoes of its mother's abdominal cavity. But yay! So that's pretty cool. But I can't name the doctor, obviously, because
or the child.
Or the child or the mother.
In fact, we're probably not even allowed to mention the entire letter, so it'll probably just get
it probably
out.
He did say, please don't mention my name or read this out, but this was cool.
Fuck him. Dear Izzy, stop berating Simon about his height. Yours, Adolf Hitler.
What?
It's quite possible I just made that one up. But he has a point.
But I won't do whatever Hitler tells me to do. I'm a good, patriotic, young English girl.
So was Unity Mitford. She was a good, patriotic British girl. She went over there to try and marry him.
Did she?
Yeah, I've outwitted you with history, haven't I?
I think, though, that if Hitler had married an English girl, right, he would have been a bit less, you know, he'd have had other things to worry about, let's put it that way.
What, like?
Where to get good crumpets and Earl Grey. And always being slightly late and being okay with that. And
queuing,
yeah.
He would have queued up to go into Poland.
He would have. He'd have waited. He'd have filled in some sort of form.
So if you want to write to us, not if you're a, you know, historical dictator, but if you want
to
write
to us. If you like writing to short men, write to Simon.
So what's the address they need to write to, is he?
They need to write to sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. That is sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
For some reason, Izzy wants to talk about shopping now.
I got this wonderful, it's called This Is Summer Food, and it's made with really, can you hear that paper? Can you hear how lovely that paper is? That sort of, it's got that really lovely, thick, heavy paper. And on the thick, heavy paper, there is printed crap. Which I don't want, but because it's on the paper, I do. Things like, that's my knife and matching sheath.
You can't use the word sheath.
Oh, no, they use the word sheaths like plant salad servers. They're basically spoons that look like grass. And there's a Whitstable barbecue, which is like a bucket, and it is a bucket. Which you can use as a barbecue, and it has a wooden handle, and that's funny, right? I want it. I don't like barbecued food very much. I find barbecues a very awkward situation. I bought a pizza to the last barbecue I had and got laughed at. Anyway, also there's these like a looped chromed steel fruit bowl, which costs £25 for a fruit bowl, but I want it because of the paper.
Well, here's the thing. My shopping section stuff is on paper about as thick as Rizzlers.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
So I don't want any of this. I've got 12 of the best lemonade jugs.
I've got these things called light balls, right? And they look a bit like knobbly tennis balls with a light in them. Guess how much 3 of these light balls cost?
I saw these in someone's house this weekend.
Did you like them?
No.
How much do you reckon they cost then, Simon?
£27.
For 3?
For 3.
£295.
I probably didn't see those actual ones then.
Well, they look quite cheap.
Well, yeah, to be fair, they did look quite cheap. And nasty.
They're kind of bubbly. They're like a dog's chew toy, but obviously made of concrete. They've got a raspberry floor cushion, which costs £20, and I want it.
You can't have it.
I know. But I like the paper it's printed on.
Why don't I just buy you a wad of that paper, then? Okay, let's take some time out now to play Article or Farcical, where Izzy will take some articles from her paper and make one up, and I have to guess which ones are the articles and which ones are the farcical.
Well, which one is the farcical? I'm only making one up. I can't make up more than one.
Okay.
Quite difficult. So this week in The Independent on Sunday, we have very, very, very many funny things. The first one is cash on delivery. It's never too early to give your baby a pension.
Yes, it is.
The next one is led down the garden path.
Is this about lead literally being used down the edge of garden paths?
No, because, Simon, it's the eve of National Shed Week. And a lady called Emma Townsend meets a man who wants to give us all some hut love.
Some hut love. Okay.
It also has a whole page about what sheds are nice. And then we have another one, which is sexual failure is a guaranteed crowd pleaser.
I would have thought having sex in front of a crowd would also be a guarantee to sexual failure.
Possibly. I mean, it depends how good your prowess is. If that were true, then dogging would never exist.
This is true.
And last but not least, the fountain of youth catching up with a long lost pen friend. Can you guess what that's about?
It's about using a fountain pen, like the old days.
It is indeed. Apparently, biros are outselling fountain pens ridiculously more than they ever were. And we are too busy typing. And the only time we actually use fountain pens is when we are children, and that is it.
So it's a pointless lament for something that clearly has just died for a reason.
Yes.
Like Stalin.
I don't think many people lament Stalin.
Well, I think some people do.
Anyway, those are your articles. Cash on delivery, led down the garden path, sexual failure and the fountain of youth.
Okay, never too late to give your baby a pension. I think that's quite funny, but you've got Independent, haven't you, this week? That sounds more like a Daily Mail article to me.
How dare you?
So I'm going to put a question mark next to that one. Led down the garden path, sheds, yeah. You gave me a bit too much information about that, so maybe that was a double bluff. Sexual failure. So I assume when it means it's a crowd pleaser, it means talking about it rather than actually having sex in front of crowds and not succeeding.
This is specifically a review of something, of which I cannot give details lest you've heard of it.
Okay.
So therefore know it to be true, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Or haven't heard of it and therefore know it to be false, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's article of article, Simon. You can't ask too many questions of me.
Fountain of youth. That sounds like a pun you may have made up. As does led down the garden path, to be honest.
What are you suggesting?
Well, I seem to be suggesting that they're all made up. Which can't be the case. So this is literally what I'm going to do. I've got a pen.
Oh, is it a fountain pen?
No, it's a biro, because biros are far superior to fountain pens.
They're more fun to draw with.
They're more fun to write with, and they're always there. You never need to buy a biro. You just go, is there a biro? And one appears.
They're like little plastic dead snakes.
Okay. I don't know what to say to that. Anyway, I'm going to literally...
Seriously, haven't you ever been in a room and sort of gone, hey, anybody got a little plastic dead snake in it? You get loads. They always leak in your pocket.
The snakes or the pens?
Snakes.
Right. I'm just going to stick a pin in it, essentially.
What will you come up with?
I stuck a pin in led down the garden path.
Really?
That is what fate has decided is the farcical.
I mean, with your record of, you know, existence, Simon, do you really want to trust in fate?
Yeah.
Okay,
I've got nothing else to fall back on.
Cash on delivery. It's never too early to give your baby a pension. And you said that was an article, and it is an article. It's in the Business on Sunday section. Sexual failure is a guaranteed crowd pleaser. That is also an article. So that leads us between Led Down the Garden Path and The Fountain of Youth,
right.
Both of which you thought I made up.
Yes.
I only made one of them up, and the one I made up, the farcical this week, was The Fountain of Youth.
Oh,
Simon,
okay.
You failed.
Fate's
you failed
rubbish.
Again. Fate is rubbish. Led Down the Garden Path, and it is, literally, we've got Sheds Heaven, Relocate to the Garden. I've got Shed Over Heels, Emma becomes one of the privileged few permitted to enter Alex Johnson's den. And to me, it just is very reminiscent of Arthur Two Sheds Jackson, which is why I picked it.
Have I actually won one of these yet?
Yeah, you won last week's.
All right, well, it's rubbish. I don't think we should play it anymore.
Don't get all competitive on me now, Simon. You're going to be sorely disappointed.
I think we should come up with a better game next week. One that I can win.
Well, one that you can win. How about Colouring In?
I want to do Colouring In next week. Now you've said it. Next week, tune in for Colouring In.
I think our readers will be very interested to support Article of Article. I happen to know it gives many of them great, great indifference.
Let's start whoop and holler now. Whoop and
whoop,
holler.
Holler.
Whoop,
yeah.
Holler. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really exciting. We're doing finance and business.
Woo!
Yeah.
What you got?
I think my penis just fell off.
Cool. I just got one.
Between us, we're breaking even. Right. I want to talk about it simply for this headline. Russian fertilizer giants to float.
That's quite funny. That's quite a funny title. Because you imagine Russian fertilizer giants being like the Jolly Green Giant. And then to float, because floating is what poo does in the toilet if you have a very fatty diet and your pancreas can't cope with it. So I see the mirth there, Simon. I do see it. I understand, yes.
Okay. My penis has definitely fallen off now.
I've got spurned by the banks, Middle Britain is pawning its possessions, which is basically an article about how people with regular incomes are just selling all their crap in pawn brokers so they can get it back in a few days' time and that sort of thing. So,
right, that's really depressing.
That is quite depressing.
See, I was already quite depressed and without much enthusiasm for the world today. And now you're telling me that we've reverted to pawn shop. And that's pawn. That's not even porn. Porn, not porn.
I know, it's with an A and a W. It's like a prawn, but without an R. Because the prawn had to take it to the pawn shop and trade his R for like a 6-month loan and then loses his R forever and then becomes a pawn shop. That's how it works.
See, wow.
Pawning can be a good option if you're after a short-term emergency fund. Basically, because banks aren't giving out credit cards anymore because they're realising that's stupid and people are a bit desperate. Charlene Laurie, 26, works full-time as a supervisor for a London flooring firm, and she earns a regular salary but makes occasional visit to her local pawnbroker if she runs out of money before payday. And so she does it to pay her off her credit card bill.
So hang on, so she's selling the things she's bought on her credit card,
yeah,
to pay off her credit card bill?
No, she's not. She's selling her heirlooms, like her gold and stuff. So she can buy stuff from Topshop.
Okay, I think it's about time we did our weekly credit crunch joke.
Okay.
What is the credit crunch? I don't know.
I think it's a type of breakfast cereal.
There we go. Do you have anything else?
Every day, 822 pensioners slip below the poverty line.
That's depressing.
Woohoo!
As well.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I blame Gordon Brown.
No, I don't blame Gordon Brown. I blame you. I actually do blame Gordon Brown for the future. He's basically completely ruined our future. Well, my future, not yours, because you're old. But I won't get to retire.
This is really, 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 really depressing. I'm going to get some electroshock therapy. So there we go. Let's just end on a joke then.
Simon Short.
There comes a time in every podcast when I just stop. And apparently that's now. We're gonna finish now.
I think the reason why you're so slow now is because it's just sapped your energy, Simon. You've turned into a little hibernating hedgehog.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, actually. So we need to decide who's won this week.
Well, when you say we need to decide, you need to admit that you've lost.
Well, there is an element of defeat about me this week. It's almost been there since the very first word that came out of my mouth, to be honest.
Which was Sunday Express. I would feel an element of defeat. You know, if it was Pizza Express, you'd have won.
All right, so if next week I turn up with a pizza, I will win. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it depends what I get. I think a pizza would have beaten the new review. However, it probably wouldn't have beaten my food supplement on that glossy, glossy, thick paper that just makes you want to cut things out and make a collage.
So your argument basically this week is that you should win on the quality of your paper, not the quality of your paper.
Yeah, exactly that. And also, you've got to think, Simon, that we look over the last few weeks, what, you know, I've won most of the time, we've drawn a couple of times when we had one undecided. Statistically, it's far more likely that I win than you do. So, you know, statistically, I should win.
Right.
And I don't know why I have an erection now.
So, does that mean I win? I don't understand. What's going
on? No, I win. And I'm statistically more likely to win, therefore I should. Because let's face it, you know, I know, you know, you say that God doesn't play dice with the universe. Well, he does in quantum mechanics. And until they find that Higgs particle, I win.
What? I'm really confused now. I had a newspaper.
I'm saying it's statistically likely that I win, and probability is how quantum mechanics work. I mean, there is a probability that you, Simon, will fall through the floor right now and be slightly nearer your teapot, but...
Don't say that. That's going to happen now.
The only reason that it doesn't happen is the probability is very, very small.
Okay, I have one very final, decisive point to make. Cars are alive.
Oh, for God's sake, they're not alive.
They are. I've proven it.
How?
Substantially.
How do they put on clothes?
What?
Something all living things have to do.
That is true. You're saying if it could tie a shoelace, a car would be alive?
No, because horses can't do that. Though watching them try is funny.
Have we started recording our podcast yet?
I won.
Did you? All right. So that means that I've never won yet.
Yeah. We need to remind people to keep...
listening?
Yeah, because after this episode, they might not. But also, we need to remind them that Hancock's half-hour DVDs, they're going to get done soon. So if you want to enter, I think...
Yeah, you need to find our missing apostrophe.
Yeah, you need to find the missing apostrophe in Sunday Supplement. You can go to sundaysupplement.com. You can email us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. And also, if you want to leave a review for us on iTunes, that'd be brilliant. You can vote for us on Dig, that sort of thing.
Right. Thank you very much for being near your speakers this week. Hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
I think it's a very defeatist attitude we're ending this podcast with.
Oh, so we've got to be upbeat. Okay. Cars are alive and I win.
No, you didn't win, Simon. You actually admitted defeat. You lost.
I admitted defeat from minute one. That was my first schoolboy era.
Your second schoolboy era was wearing shorts.
All right, then, I'm going to say goodbye now. You can carry on. It's fine. I don't mind. I'm just going. Bye.
I have nothing to say.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.